It's a Wolves Wednesday here on Kate Radio. A good time to talk about our Minnesota Timberwolves during a little bit of a winning streak after a couple of wins the last handful of days. A Monday win against the Miami Heat, and on Saturday they knocked out the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll talk about those games and much more with Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. And Cal, a good afternoon and a happy early Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Yeah, same to you, Aaron, and all the listeners and Albert Lee. Hopefully everyone gets to spend some family time over the next couple of days, and hopefully this winning streak keeps rolling.
Yeah, Timberwolves looking to make it 5 in a row when they take on Indiana on the road tonight. And, Cal, let's talk about the two recent games. And both games, and I guess in this entire four-game win streak, the teams that the Timberwolves have faced have been shorthanded, which, again, the Timberwolves have played plenty of games over the years where they've been missing some of their top players. So there's no apologies for beating teams when they're lacking some of their stars. Philadelphia, let's start with Saturday, 112-109, a game that almost got away from the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'm watching this game, and even though I think he had 30-plus points, how in the world do you guard Joel Embiid without getting a whistle called on you? Because you want to talk about a guy that lowers his shoulder, and he had elbows that hit, I think, Rudy Gobert a couple of times in this game. As a Timberwolves fan, it was annoying to watch on Saturday night. Thank goodness they got a win, 112-109. I do give Embiid a lot of credit there, Cal. He was kind of a one-man crew that kept his team in that game.
Yeah, certainly. He was impressive. He had really been carrying the Sixers for the better part of, you know, that last week and change where they had strung together some wins. He had that 59-point outing earlier in the week. They're missing guys. He's probably one of the toughest players in the league to defend without fouling just because of how much he's able to do inside. He gets a lot of the benefit of the doubt, especially at home with that, you know, that frenetic Philly fan base. So it's tough. And I think the Wolves did a great job keeping their composure. That third quarter especially, I think, just kind of grinded to a halt with all the whistles. And that's tough, but it played into the Sixers and what they wanted to do, and they made the comeback in the fourth. And, yeah, they were missing James Harden and Tyrese Maxey, but, you know, that's still a really good – it's a well-coached team, and they funnel so much through Embiid now. You know, he almost single-handedly lifted them to that comeback. So I thought the Wolves did a great job of, you know, starting the game the way they wanted to. And like they've done, you know, throughout this winning streak, they've save for Monday, I guess they were the ones making the comeback on Monday. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But they did a great job of withstanding a rally. And just like it's a reality in the NBA that you play shorthanded teams, sometimes it's not who you play, but when you play them, it's a reality in the NBA, too, that no matter how big of a lead you might build, especially if it's 20-plus, but it's over the course of the first two quarters, you have to be ready to basically reach back into your back pocket and regain composure and withstand a run, because runs occur almost every single night in this league in terms of a team being able to string together, you know, a 10-0 run or a 15-2 run. It's just there's too much talent. Even if a team is missing key pieces, there are guys that can get hot, and they can get hot quickly, and you have to be able to shut the faucet off.
109. Or 112, three-point win. Phillies with a 109 on Saturday night. Timberwolves with the victory. Cal Soderquist on a Wolves Wednesday. Let's talk about Monday. 105-101 win against the Heat. And, Cal, like you said, it was a different story. Minnesota had to come back from a 13-point halftime deficit against the Miami Heat team that was missing guys like Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. Now, with that being said, one thing about the NBA, and you follow it obviously very close, and so do I, when guys are out, you know, the stars are out, this gives the opportunity to guys that come off the bench that would not get these minutes if, again, the Jimmy Butlers and the Tyler Heroes of the world were not or were in the game. These are NBA players. These are professional athletes. in Miami, to their credit, a bunch of guys that I had never heard of besides a Kyle Lowry, they stepped it up in that first half and kind of took it to Minnesota. The Timberwolves came out flying in that second half. I think they outscored maybe Miami by 18 points in the third quarter. So I'm not going to say that was a bad first half by Minnesota. I mean, obviously, they didn't play the best basketball. But when you give guys the opportunity and the chance to play that they might not get on most nights, these guys, again, professional athletes, they will take advantage of that time, and I think the Heat showed that in the first half.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you go all the way down to the end of the bench for most teams, and that guy, hey, was either a former lottery pick or certainly was one of the better players, you know, in his college conference in terms of the skill set and the talent they have. And I think that the thing that I'm always reminded of when you play a shorthanded team and they can go on a run, every single one of these guys has a ton of confidence, and you have to have that as you go through your career as a young player. You know, you have to have belief in yourself that you're going to make it through AAU and then get a scholarship and then go through college and get drafted. So when you get your opportunity, they've spent years preparing for, you know, the chance that they're now presented with. And so a lot of guys are really great at seizing that opportunity. And it also, you give credit to the team as a whole, like whether it's Doc Rivers and the Sixers being able to plug guys in. Obviously, Eric Spoelstra is one of the very best coaches, in my opinion, in the NBA. So you just kind of know that they're still going to play that style of basketball, even if some of the key names are missing. So that's a credit to those teams. And I think, yeah, you know, the Wolves in that first half on Monday, some of the bigger issues, I think, were the effort problems, whether it's, you know, the offensive rebounding, the three-point shooting was really awful. So some of those things reappearing were a cause for concern. But they did a great job of, you know, going into the halftime break. I'm not sure exactly what was said at the locker room, but I'm sure Chris Finch had some words for how they played those first two quarters. And then they came out and corrected it. And, you know, they had the talent advantage on that night. So you can lean on that as long as you play the right way. And sure enough, things went in their favor. And I think you mentioned it very early on in this call, but you never have to apologize for wins. Like, even if you had an ugly first half, if you get the W, that's what you want. And then you can go back and look at the film later and hope that first half doesn't unfold the exact same way the next time. But if you get the win, that's the best time to kind of be learning lessons and correcting things is during a four-game winning streak, for sure.
Cal Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network, talking about the win against Miami on Monday night. Anthony Edwards, a big second half with 22 points. And I was talking to my 14-year-old son about this. When you look at the Rudy Gobert trade, and granted, we gave up, you know, a few guys that had roles that they played a lot of minutes for us last year. When you give those guys up, what happens is you allow more minutes for other guys. And we've seen that this year. And Jordan McLaughlin, I want to bring up J-Mac. He had a huge second half. He had 12 points, and he's one of the guys that I hope his minutes keep going up, again, with some of the guys that departed last year or in the offseason with that trade for Rudy Gobert. I saw some kind of crazy stat, and maybe you know the exact number, that Jordan McLaughlin this year has a plus-minus number. It's a plus of like 60-plus when he's on the floor. I mean, that's a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
Get J-Mac out there more.
Yeah, agreed. I don't have the number in front of me, but I remember hearing it, and it just kind of speaks to the way he plays. You know, it's not like he's the one pouring in all those points to help that plus-minus. Yeah, he did catch fire from three in that second half and really got the crowd, I thought, fully back engaged in that game, and they obviously gave the Wolves players a lift during that comeback. So that was key. But just the way he plays, he moves the basketball. He's rarely going to hurt you with turnovers or with bad shots, bad passes, things like that. So he's just, in a way, it's kind of like what they had with their previous backup point guard and Tyus Jones. Now they're different players. They do different things, but J-Mac, you know, Chris Finch did not hold back in his praise for really both Jordan McLaughlin and Jaden McDaniels and the way that they kind of helped key things in that second half comeback. And you hope that, you know, those guys, they don't get as much of the recognition and unlike Ant or D'Lo or Cat or Rudy, they don't get a set amount of touches each game to kind of, you know, feel their way through the game and build up a rhythm. That they're kind of just basically asked to, all right, when you get your opportunity, make the most of it, because, you know, in Jaden McDaniel's case, it's either going to be a catch and shoot three, which we saw him hit a couple of those Monday. It's going to be, you know, baseline cuts or offensive rebounds. You have to kind of, you know, make do with what you get. And to see them both do that in a super efficient way, I think is awesome for them and hopefully kind of serves as a springboard. Because when they both play well, even just one of the two of those guys, it's usually a good sign for the Wolves' chances that night. And especially when both those guys are having big nights, you can count on the team kind of playing up to their abilities and up to their potential.
Wolves Wednesday with Cal Soderquist here on Kate Radio. And you know me, Cal, I'm critical of our team because I love them so much. And I got to bring up this topic. After the game on Monday, Rudy Gobert talked about the fans booing at times. Anthony Edwards also mentioned the Boo Birds at Target Center saying his team is trying their best. And this takes me back to last year when D'Angelo Russell was kind of tough on the crowd, saying that the crowd didn't make enough noise. And eventually fans now stand until the Timberwolves score their first bucket. I'm always going to be in the corner of the fans who pay hard-earned money to go watch these guys that are making millions of dollars. The Boo Birds are going to come because we expect a lot from this team. There's a lot of talent on this team. And when I read those comments from Rudy and read those comments from Ant, I'm like, you know what? If you're a high school player, I get it. Maybe even a college kid, I get it. But you're a pro. I leave the fans alone. It's the second year in a row, Cal, that we've had the players speak about the fans who, again, spend hard-earned money to be at Target Center. What's your thoughts on those comments?
Yeah, I see where the players are coming from. Certainly, you know, they're frustrated in the moment, probably very emotional too, or even when they meet with the media right after the game. They're only, you know, 10, 15 minutes removed from the game, and it probably is tough to be in your home building and have that kind of an atmosphere starting to you know, appear. But, you know, I see certainly where the fans are coming from. And like you mentioned, they pay good money for those seats. And to their credit, too, they came alive when the Wolves came alive in that third quarter with that big run to take the lead and kind of take control of the game. And, you know, the Timberwolves fan base, I do agree with the players in that they're not always the quickest to make a ton of noise. Like, they did a great job of responding to D'Lo and doing the new tradition of standing until the first basket. But they want to see it on the floor before that home court advantage and that electric atmosphere is kind of there. But I also do think, compared to last year, the crowds have been excellent. The building's full almost every night, so we do get great atmospheres. The problem is when you fall behind by 15 in the first half against a shorthanded opponent, you know, the fan base, either in the Twin Cities or the extended area, they're smart enough to know, like, hey, this should not be happening against this type of team or this type of opponent.
Correct, yeah.
It's a smart fan base, and it's a smart hoop scene, and I think it's also smart in the sense that the fans at the game in attendance, they can tell if some of those non-negotiables are not taking place. Like, missed shots are one thing. That's going to happen, and sometimes you're going to go 2 of 25 from deep. But if you're turning the ball over, or if you're getting beat back door, or if you're giving up offensive rebounds to your opponent and then getting killed on the second chance point, fans pick up on that. And I think that's one thing where the Timberwolves fan base are one of the best in the league at, they'll, you know, if they see that stuff's not happening and that's a big reason why you're losing, then they will let you hear it. And I don't think they're wrong for that. I think Chris Finch even said as much when he was asked about some of the player comments. So it makes total sense. I see where both sides are coming from, but I think ultimately, you know, if the Wolves fan base did such a great job of responding to D'Lo's comments last year, hopefully these players can kind of, you know, respond to some of the fan frustrations this year. And like I said, in that second half, the building was rocking. I don't think there were any issues or resentment on either side. So it's one of those deals that I think, you know, when the team plays plays up to their potential, they won't have to worry about it. So that's why I'm not taking too much time to worry about it or give it too much too much stress, in the sense that I think the rising tide will float all ships sooner rather than later.
Timberwolves 9-8 right now. They're in the number 10 spot in the Western Conference, but they're only two games back of the top spot. So no one is running away with things early in the Western Conference. Indiana on the road tonight. The Atiwas trying to make it five wins in a row. Charlotte on the road on Friday. And then Golden State, the defending champions, come to Target Center on Sunday. Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. Cal, again, thank you so much for the time. Have a great Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds great, Aaron. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone in Albert Lea, and everyone enjoy some, hopefully, some Wolves wins and some good food and company. We'll talk soon.